And now more Operation Freedom. With your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham! Talk 1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our very safe and secure, undisclosed Level 3 Freedom Bunker, which is linked, much to the chagrin of the totalitarians, to Wham! Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker, manned by my boss, Derek Stone, who is able to pull off yet another broadcast, much to the chagrin of those that in the deep state that want to block information from coming into your home and into your cars and into your lives. Our goal is to empower you, to provide you information that the bought-off lamestream fake media will never deliver. My next guest is a fan favorite and someone who I'm honored to call my friend and someone who has taken on the deep state for decades. You know somebody is effective at taking on the deep state when they are repeatedly demonized, slandered, libeled, and misrepresented. That bothers about 99% of people I know, including me. But it doesn't bother my next guest. He just keeps chugging along and keeps taking on direct aim at the deep state. Major General Paul Vallely served our country for decades. He retired from the United States Army as Deputy Commanding General of the U.S. Pacific in Honolulu, Hawaii. General Vallely graduated from the U.S. Military Academy at West Point and was commissioned in the Army, serving a distinguished career of 32 years in the Army. Paul is a graduate of the Infantry School, Ranger and Airborne Schools, Jumpmaster School, the Command and General Staff School, the Industrial College of the Armed Forces, and the Army War College. He has over 15 years' experience in special operations, psychological, and civil military operations. He served in many overseas theaters to include Europe and the Pacific Rim countries, as well as two combat tours in Vietnam. He has served as a consultant to the commanding general of the Special Operations Command. General Vallely has been a military analyst on television and radio for, many years. He is also a guest lecturer on national security, international political economic issues, strategic planning matters, and the global war against radicalism and other threats to America. He is founder of a fantastic organization, Stand Up America US. So you go to Stand Up America US. You got to put the US. StandUpAmericaUS.org. It is my honor to welcome back General Paul Vallely. Paul, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Well, thank you, David. Happy to be back with you on Father's Day, huh?
Well, and a very happy Father's Day to you. And I hope that Muffin is treating you well and that you've gotten extra treats today and not having to do the chores that you seem to always get. Well, weekends are just chore fest at the Vallely household. Hopefully, Muffin, your commanding officer, gave you a reprieve today.
Well, she did, and I'm being treated very well here on Father's Day. I hope the other fathers are experiencing the same.
Well, I am. I am, and it's been a very special day. Paul, before we speak about a phenomenal article that you and Brigadier General Charles Jones wrote about the wrong stuff versus the right stuff, speaking of generals and admirals, I want to touch on John Bolton in his book. Your take.
Well, you know, I know John. I haven't spent that much time with him, but the times I have spent with him, John's a very one-sided individual. John believes in what he believes, and you and I don't know anything. He's very arrogant, very smug, difficult to get along with. And I do give him praise for his tour of duty at the United Nations. I thought he did a job there very well, but you have to understand in the White House, everybody has to understand that you're on a team there. And as I understand it, John continually wanted to blow the forward the flames of war, whether it be Iran, North Korea, China. And the president, as you know, wanted to extract all of our forces from the Middle East, and I agree with that. I don't want to see one more body bag coming back from the Middle East to America. But John, being very feisty, really wasn't part of the team there, and I think the president finally learned that and took issue with it, and he basically asked him to leave. Well, sour grapes is what you see John Bolton doing. So from that standpoint, I think the book is going to be out. People will read it and take it for what it's worth, but the president was absolutely right in asking Bolton to leave, the head of the National Security Council.
Paul, I want to go to your article now. Generals and Admirals, the Wrong Stuff versus the Right Stuff, written by yourself and Brigadier General Charles Jones. I want to read the introduction. You take it from there. Retired military officers be recalled to active duty and court-martialed for derogatory remarks about America's commander-in-chief and president of the United States. And some should be. Even more basic is these same disloyal generals and admirals are the same ones that could not win a war. America lost so many of its proud soldiers, sailors, and airmen, and thousands wounded because of their flawed war fighting strategies and policies, all documented. They've destroyed their reputation and credibility among the ranks and the constitutional patriots of America. Paul, it's been said by these retired generals and admirals, whether it's Mattis or Kelly or Colin Powell or Admiral McCraven or Admiral Mullins, or even, well, we'll talk about Milley in a second, but that President Trump wants to use the military to fight Americans. That and even General Milley went there. This is, well, your take, Paul.
Well, what we've got, and I know most of these generals and admirals, some fairly well, others not so well. But if you track and peel back the onion on them, they were basically came up under and got into their senior positions during the Obama administration. They are definitely left-wingers. They're anti-Trumpers. We've known that for several years. And from that standpoint, they have fallen into the Democratic Socialist ranks and have aligned themselves with the left. All of them, each and every one of them. And you know, my feeling is among a lot of the general officers I know, General Jones feels the same way, that they have not obliged by their oath. They have attacked a sitting president who is trying to protect the American people and work us out of this COVID-19 pandemic dilemma, as well as now the continuing riots and the splitting of America. So rather than rallying behind our president, they're actually bad-mouthing him. And we even see a few now still in the Pentagon, like General Milley and Secretary of Defense Esper, who are challenging the president. And they're really being insubordinate. And as I say in the article, Dave, I would call the senior leadership of the Defense Department at the Pentagon tomorrow morning. I would sit down with them in a round table and say, okay, I want to hear your grievances, because I've heard what you're saying. And he listened to him. And then I would lay on the table, either you're part of my team, my defense team, my national security team, or you're not. And if you're not part of my team, I want your resignation by close of business today. That's the way I would handle it.
Paul, I watched that event on June 1st. It started in the Rose Garden. President Trump addressed the nation on the issues of what was occurring. And then this walk he took out of the White House across Lafayette Park, which had been destroyed by not peaceful protests, by rioters and looters, and that had burnt St. John's Church to the point where it was boarded up. The fact that he walked across Lafayette Park was one of the most symbolic events in my lifetime of taking back the battlefield from anarchists and saying, I'm upholding the Constitution. Part of that Constitution is religious liberty. Burning a church, if you will, is an attack on the Constitution and on religious liberty. And I am here as president to uphold the Constitution. Yet, Paul, when General Milley made that walk with him, 10 days later, he came out and said, I shouldn't have done that because it was it turned out to be a political event. Paul, what was Milley talking about?
Well, again, he made that talk at the National War College the week after, and basically recanting his march with the president. I haven't seen many pictures in history of generals or admirals with the president that didn't take on some kind of a political issue. I saw that all the time during Vietnam and even in the Middle East wars that we saw. But it was ingratiating, and I would have fired him that day when he made that talk. I mean, this is insubordination. The president was trying to set an example that we need to be free to walk through our parks, walk to a church without being attacked. And the Secret Service and the other police there did a very, very good job of neutralizing the insurrectionists that were outside of the White House. So he set an example. But General Milley should have been smart enough to understand he was setting an example, but he wasn't.
You know, Paul, he spoke about this being a political event. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, every State of the Union address, which is a political event, really, the Joint Chiefs are there, all of them.
Yeah.
And in particular, this past year, when Nancy Pelosi pulled the political stunt of ripping up, shredding the State of the Union document, it was an incredible act of political malfeasance. I never heard General Milley make a statement about being there for such a politically charged action. He never said anything. And now all of a sudden, is talking politics. I mean, as you said, you could give hundreds of examples where military was involved at a political in a political situation.
No, absolutely. And in regards to the State of the Union speech event, the military and I received instruction on this, are to sit there and being neutral. They don't want to show partiality with the Democrats on the left, the Republicans on the right. They're not supposed to applaud. They're not supposed to say anything at the State of the Union. So that's the reason they don't at that kind of an event. But certainly, to badmouth and a president is trying to do a great job and not trying to make recommendations in a positive way to support him, to help the president and the country get through these issues that we're dealing with now. That's what I don't understand. So therefore, if you peel the onion back, they got to be a part of the liberal left socialist move to make sure that President Trump isn't elected and reelected. That's what it's about, Dave.
Well, and also, Paul, you mentioned this about President Trump, and you've been a very strong advocate of this, of bringing our troops home. You know, it could be that some of these generals like Mattis and Mullen, Milley for that matter, McRaven, Colin Powell, have ties to the military-industrial complex, if you will, and they don't want to see our soldiers come home. Their friends, if you want to call it that, make a lot more money when our people are deployed, as opposed to what you and President Trump are talking about bringing people home.
Well, let me give you the example of General Mattis. When President Trump was running for office and afterwards, and when he was elected, he made a promise to the American people to get our forces out of the Middle East and let the Middle East people, countries over there, solve their area problems there. And General Mattis fought him on that. Mattis wanted to keep forces over there when we didn't need to. That's where it all started. And so basically, Mattis was going against the commander-in-chief at that time, very early on. And again, President Trump got very frustrated with his inactions rather than actions. And so you're right with the military-industrial complex. And many of these generals and admirals, of course, look for jobs after they retire, either joining in some of the deep state think tanks that we have in Washington. And in our article, we describe that, by the way. And so with that, again, when you peel the onion back, their motivation is to make sure that they badmouth the president every opportunity to ensure he doesn't get reelected. So they've aligned himself again with the liberal left Democrats. And that's proven. That's we have documentation on that.
Paul, would you call back, would you recall to active duty Colin Powell, Mattis, Kelly, McRaven, Mullen? Would you bring them back, bring them back in active duty and court-martial them?
No, I wouldn't. I think if they're engaged in treasonous activity or sedition, which is different, then I would. But at this, I think the president's better just to roll forward. He knows who they are. He knows their motivations. And that's what the president does. He looks forward. If you look backwards on that and try to do that, it's just going to create more turmoil, and we don't need that at this time. So I would say no to that.
And Paul, folks, we're speaking to General Paul Valley. Paul, now let's look forward at what's happening in cities around our country, and in particular right now, Seattle. We have a 6x6 block area that's now, I think, morphed into a 3x3 block area, formerly called the country of Chaz, now called the country of Chop, Capitol Hill occupation protest. Paul, how would you handle that?
Well, we have negligent, weak, cowardly mayors and governors. They're not protecting American people and businesses. And so one option I've looked at is to put the 82nd Airborne on alert, three battalions. The battalions are about 750 soldiers each. And I would call it the A, B, and C battalion. So something happens in Seattle, you can first, of course, federalize the National Guard to complement, but I would actually put a battalion in if the local authorities aren't protecting American people and businesses. It would be over, Dave, in an hour. In an hour, it would be over with. Now, once you settled Seattle, if there's anything going on any other place, again, I'd federalize the National Guard of those states. Basically, that takes away the authority over the state units from the governor and puts them under the president and the Defense Department. So we have plenty of National Guard and Reserve forces we can use. But the strike capability, and our soldiers are trained in riot control and demonstrations. We did it when I was on active duty, just in case we were called up to do it. Now, with Posse Comitatus, they don't have an arrest ability, and that's understood in the law, but they certainly can quell a demonstration that's out of control, that's killing, maiming, destroying businesses if the local authorities can't do it. And from that standpoint, the police then would have the arrest authority, so our forces, the 82nd Airborne 1st Battalion, would neutralize the situation, and then they would turn over as many of these insurrectionists who are committing crimes, who are murdering people, wounding people, beating up people, and turn them over to the local police, and then ensure in some way through the federal judges that there are indictments and these people go to jail. That's what I would do.
And Paul, how would you handle organizations that promote domestic organizations that are actually international ties? I think one of the fallacies is when people say, oh, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, are United States-based organizations, and there's no foreign influence on them. Paul, I don't believe that's accurate. I believe these organizations have significant input from adversaries internationally. Am I wrong on that?
No. If you read my latest Operation Nemesis 10, which I just sent you about an hour ago, you'll see in there the connection of Chinese foreign agents that have integrated into these organizations. all funded and supported by the Chinese Communist Party. And that can be validated, by the way. So I'd ask you to read that and pass it on to your listeners. But we've gone into a very detailed analysis of these covert Chinese agents that have infiltrated not only into our organizations, but the universities and colleges, Silicon Valley, the high-tech companies, for example. They've infiltrated very heavily over the last 10 to 15 years. And now we're sorting them out. Harvard is a good example of the professor who was aligned with the Chinese Communist Party.
And Paul, how would you handle these international ties into these organizations? I mean, one way is to shut off the financial spigot, right? That essentially let these organizations die on the vine, if you will. How would you handle it?
Well, first of all, I would indict George Soros, who is funding these organizations covertly. Treasury Department ought to be tracking any kind of money movements from bank to bank, from Soros. However, I would indict him tomorrow. He just lives an hour north in New York City. I would arrest him, indict him, and put him on trial as a treasonous, seditious individual who's trying to take down the U.S. government and change it forever. That will send a very strong signal. And then I would look at the other support activities. We have corporations now that are supporting Black Lives Matter. All types of I can make a whole list of the companies that are doing it. But we're cowering to this insurrection, where we shouldn't be, where we need to be standing tall and neutralizing it. And I'm out here in Montana, and I know most Montanans agree with me that you have to take action and neutralize this. We cannot tolerate this going any further.
Paul, many people are concerned that these events that have occurred between the pandemic and these latest with the riots and the looting, that it's going to lead to a situation that President Trump loses the election in November and that Biden, hard to believe, but Biden would win. Your take?
Well, Biden will continue with his problems, and I'm not even sure the Democrats want to... The convention will even run the guy. I mean, he's on another planet. I do think he's sick. He's at least four cans short of a six pack. if I could describe local Detroit talk or Milwaukee talk, he's incapable. He's incompetent. The president is doing his candidacy through the 3,000-plus counties in the United States. They have a good plan, and I think the president will win hands down.
Paul, I'd like to thank you for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. StandUpAmericaUS.org. Thanks for joining us. Dream big and dare to fail.